भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीसुक उवाच आकर्ण्यातु वाक्यम भगवान सात्वतर्षभ प्रत्याहाराश्रया श्रीसुक उवाच आकर्ण्येतं पितुर्वाक्यम् भगवान् सात्वतर्षभः प्रहासन श्लक्ष्णया गिरा श्रीसुक उवाच आकन्येतं पितुर्वाक्यम् भगवान् सत्वतर्षभः प्रत्याह प्रश्रया नमः संश्लक्ष्णया गिरा श्रीसुक उवाच आपन्येतं पितुर्वाक्यम् भगवान् सत्वतर्षभः प्रत्याह प्रश्रया नम्रः संश्लक्ष्णया गिरा श्रीसुक उवाच सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड आकर्ण्या हियरिंग इद्धाम इन दिस मैनर पितुः ऑफ हिज फादर वाक्यम स्टेटमेंट्स भगवान the Supreme Lord, Sattvata Rishabha, best of the Yadus, Pratyaha, reply, Prasraya, the humility, Anam Raha, bowing his head, Rahasan, smiling broadly, Slakshnaya, gentle, Gira, with a voice. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, having heard his father's words, the Supreme Lord, leader of the Satvatas, replied in a gentle voice as he bowed his head in humility and smiled. Purport. So that Jiva Goswami describes what Lord Krishna thought after hearing his father glorify him. Vasudeva has been honored with the eternal role of my father, something even demigods like Brahma cannot aspire for. Therefore, he should be absorbed in thinking of my godly aspects. Moreover, his reverence greatly embarrasses me. It was to avoid this very situation that after killing Kamsa, I made a special effort to reinforce their pure parental love for me and Balaram. But now, unfortunately, the statements of the sages threaten to revive some of Vasudeva's and Devaki's previous awareness of my majesty. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sadrajata Sadhana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalitam Sri Vishakam Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhano Sude Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Rupa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here, trying to speak something about this purport of Srila Prabhupada. First and foremost, I want to state that it's really been an honor for me and my wife to be over here, this wonderful temple. The mood of the devotees is so sweet and naturally pleasing to the heart. We have been made so welcomed over here the last few days that we have been over here. And the ladies are so wonderfully being worshipped, decorated. So I'm sure Srila Prabhupada will be very, very pleased to see how wonderfully all of you are serving the deities over here and serving the Vaishnavas. Because the Lord is pleased when the Vaishnavas are served. As the Lord says in the 11th canto to Uddhava, Mad Bhakta Puja Vidika, worship of my devotees is more dear to me than worship of myself. So when Vaishnavas are welcomed and treated very honorably and nicely, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Srila Prabhupada are pleased. So we are very, very grateful. We are honored to be here. It's a privilege. And we are looking forward to coming more times in the future. So here we see in this particular chapter, Lord Krishna instructing Vasudeva, who is the father of Krishna, is glorifying the last few verses that we have been saying, in fact the last 20 verses. Vasudeva has been glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is very common to find so many sections of the Bhagavatam where the Lord is glorified by His devotees. And Jiva Goswami in this particular purport is saying that Vasudeva is actually the eternal father of Lord Krishna. He has always taken this position as the father. And for a father to be glorifying the son is relatively unusual. But what is even more unusual, we see from the pages of the Chaitanya Charita. Chaitanya Charitamrita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord glorifying His devotees. The Lord being glorified by His devotees is very usual, but the Lord personally glorifying His own devotees would be for us rather unusual. Particularly in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami elaborates to such a large extent
how the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, takes so much of effort to glorify his devotees. And although we know that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was actually a very old man. He didn't have much time to put together the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But yet, he considered it necessary for our own benefit to appreciate that if the Lord glorifies his devotees, how important it is for us to glorify the devotees of the Lord. So in this particular instance, we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was bidding farewell to the devotees, after a 4-month stay in Jagannath Puri, the devotees were returning back to Navadvip. And all the devotees were gathered around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanting to express their deep separation from the Lord. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying all the devotees one by one. And the first person that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to glorify was Raghav Pandit. Now, Raghav Pandit is a very special devotee of the Lord because he and his sister were famous throughout Navadvip for the wonderful preparations that they would make. But more than that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to glorify Raghav Pandit for his wonderful devotional qualities of how he would be worshipping the deities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started telling the devotees, now let me inform you about the wonderful devotional qualities of Raghav Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Raghav Pandit had a huge orchard of coconut trees in his backyard. But rather than offer this coconut that would be coming from this coconut trees to the Lord, Raghav Pandit would source our coconuts from as far away as 20 kilometers to get the best possible coconuts and pay a price which was 10 times the market price. And in those days, this was about 500 years back, it was not as if there was any means of communication. They had to walk in order to reach this distance of 20 kilometers. But Raghav Pandit would go over there and get these coconuts with great care and affection. And after bringing them to the temple of Lord Krishna, he would very nicely prepare them for the offering and dip them in water so that it would remain cool. And then when the time came for him to offer this to Lord Krishna, Raghav Pandit would great care snip off the top of the coconut and offer it in entirety to the Lord. And the Lord would be so reciprocative that he would personally come and drink the offering, he would drink the juice that was there in the coconut. And Raghav Pandit would be filled with so much ecstasy that he would personally scoop the kernel out of the coconut and then put that in a plate and offer that to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord would come and accept even this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that this is the glory of Raghav Pandit. And one day, the same coconut that Raghav Pandit had obtained with so much of difficulty was being prepared by his servant for the offering. And the servant had put this coconut on the plate and he was about to bring it to the temple to offer it to the Lord. At that time, the servant had touched the roof of the ceiling, the ceiling of the temple hall, accidentally. And Raghav Pandit happened to see this. And immediately what came to Raghav Pandit's mind is that the devotees of the Lord who are accustomed to be dancing in the floor, their dust goes onto the ceiling. And when the servant touched the ceiling, he became contaminated, and along with him this offering also became contaminated. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Raghav Pandit, this coconut that he had obtained with so much of difficulty, he instructed the servant to throw them away. And then he arranged to get fresh coconuts to be offered to the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that this is the quality of Raghav Pandit. His deep devotion for the Lord made the Lord actually come and accept whatever offerings were made to him. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned towards Mukunda Dutt and Raghunandan and asked Mukunda, "Tell me Mukunda, who is the father and who is the son? Are you the father or are you the son? Are you the father or is Raghunandan the son? Or is it vice versa?" And Mukunda Dutt replied, that actually, my dear Lord, Raghunandan is my father, I am the son. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the answer. He said, yes, what you say is true. Because anybody who brings you to Krishna is actually the father. Anybody who connects us to Krishna is actually your father. So that is why we have so many different spiritual masters. One, we have a Diksha Guru, a Pratapadaksha Guru, or so many Siksha Gurus. Anybody who gives us even a little bit of connection to Krishna, we should consider him to be our spiritual master. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started talking about the wonderful qualities of Mukunda. Now Mukunda was a physician in the darbar of the king, a Muslim king. And he was accustomed to giving medical advice to this Muslim king. It so happened one day that he was on a high seat. He was advising the king. At that time, one of the servants of the king brought a peacock feather fan to fan the king because it was very hot. And Mukunda, just by seeing this peacock feather, went into such ecstasy that he became unconscious and rolled down all over, right down from the high seat onto the floor. And the king, seeing this, immediately was wondering what has happened. Then he came towards Mukunda and asked him, what's wrong with you? Are you well? And the devotee never wants to express his spiritual emotions that he feels. Because out of humility, he would never like to disclose what sort of a elevated soul he is. So Mukunda was a very elevated soul, so he didn't want to reveal to the king that actually what was that he had experienced ecstatic feelings. So he told the king that actually what I was feeling was I was having this disease. I'm having this disease called epilepsy, and I was having an epileptic fit. But the king could understand. Although he was a Muslim, he could understand that here was a person who was an advanced devotee of the Lord and who was actually manifesting the symptoms of pure ecstatic love. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned towards Vasudev Dutt and told all the devotees, now let me tell you about the glories of this devotee called Vasudev Dutt. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this Vasudev Dutt is such a grahastha that whatever he earns, he spends it on the devotees. This is a very unusual grahastha. He never kept any money for himself, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was concerned for his future. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivanand Sen, who was an expert in all financial dealings. Shivanand Sen is the person who would always help arrange so many yatras and so many festivals for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a very rich businessman. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always depended on him to arrange for all the facilities for the devotees when they would be going out on yatras. So the Lord turned towards Shivanand Sen and told him that, Shivanand Sen, from now onwards I want you to take care of Vasudev Dutt. Just so that Vasudev Dutt can have some savings for his future. And then Vasudev Dutt turned towards the Lord and said, my dear Lord, I have only one request of you. This whole material world is suffering, and the conditioned souls over here are just making further and further inroads into going towards hell. So my dear Lord, I have only one request. Please let me remain over here in this material world, or even if you so desire, to the hellish planets for eternity. But I request you to take all these living entities back home, back to Godhead, into your spiritual abode. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this appeal of Vasudev Dutt, he started shedding tears. Tears came to his eyes and he was trembling. He was feeling so happy. And he turned to the devotees and said, I'm not surprised that this is Vasudev Dutt talking, because Vasudev Dutt is none other than an expansion of Prahlad Maharaj. And in fact, when Prahlad Maharaj when he was 5 years old and he had approached Lord Narsingadev, and Lord Narsingadev had asked him for a benediction, he had said exactly the same thing. that, "My dear Lord, I don't want to be getting any benediction from you, but if it pleases you, then please, I request you, take all the living entities back home, back to Godhead, and I let me remain over here." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, Vasudev Das is none other than Prahlad Maharaj. So I can understand his mood. And then he turned to the devotees and said, "If this is a prayer of Vasudev Das, then what is the necessity for Vasudev Das to remain here in this material world? Why can't the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, take all the living entities back home, back to Godhead? What difference would it make to him?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started saying that Audumbara tree has so many fruits, and if one fruit falls down from the tree, what difference does it make to the tree? And also a mustard bag has thousands and thousands and millions of mustard seeds, and if one mustard seed falls off from that mustard seed bag, what difference does it make to the bag? So if one universe out of millions and trillions of universes is liberated and people, all the people in that universe, living entities, go home back to Godhead, what is the loss to Krishna? So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifying his own devotees in such an ecstatic way, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the Lord was glorifying his devotees as if he had 1,000 mouths. The Lord would get intense pleasure in glorifying his devotees. And later on, in another pastime, there was a devotee by the name Vallabhad who approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Vallabhad was a person with a very high learning, yet he was a Brahmana. And somehow he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he came to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But his heart was filled with pride because he was thinking that he was a very learned Brahmana. So he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started glorifying him, saying that you are none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And started glorifying the attributes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that although he was glorifying him, still his heart was filled with pride, and he wanted to smash that pride of Vallabhad. So he told Vallabhad that, "I belong to the school of Mayavad Sannyasis. What qualities do I have? I'm none other than a Mayavadi. How can I tell you anything about devotional service? And you are glorifying that I am the epitome of devotional service. How could I have anything to do with devotional service?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vallabhad that, "But here all these devotees, they are the people who can tell you about pure devotional service." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramanand Rai, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya. And he told Vallabhad that these are the people who can actually teach you everything about devotional service. You only have to take their association. And Vallabhad was very impressed. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Can you tell me where these devotees are?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them that they are all staying in different places in Jagannath Puri. In fact, right now they are in Jagannath Puri, but they are staying in different residences. But in a short while they will be coming to meet me, and I will introduce you to them. And as soon as the devotees came, because normally the devotees would come to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during noontime, as soon as the devotees came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started introducing them one by one to Vallabhad. And just by looking at them, Vallabhad was so much impressed, because each and every one of those devotees were emanating a golden effulgence that was so attractive to see. Vallabhad paid obeisances to each and every devotee, took the dust on his head, and then he started making inquiries very, very submissively to them. "Please tell me, how do I achieve pure devotional service?" And his devotees were so magnanimous that they were giving him their realizations on how to make advancement in devotional service. Now Vallabhad although he was associating with his devotees, still he did not have any transformation in his heart. He was still feeling proud, and he had written a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one day he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Please, my dear Lord, I have written this treatise commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam and I would like you to give your comments on it." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that whatever he had written on the Srimad Bhagavatam was all useless. So he told Vallabhbhai, "Then what do I know about Srimad Bhagavatam? I am just an ordinary sannyasi. In any case, for me, as far as I know, the only thing what my spiritual master has told me is to chant the holy names of the Lord. And that's the only thing that I know. So as far as this high purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam are concerned, actually I don't know anything about them. So please forgive me, please don't trouble me with this." Now Vallabhbhai, somehow or other, he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be hearing this, his commentaries in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not interested, he caught hold of Gadadhar Pandit. Now Gadadhar Pandit is a very, very soft person, most like all Vaishnavas. And somehow or other, because he knew that Vallabhbhai was a very elevated Brahmana, he didn't want to insult him and tell him, no, I don't want to listen to your commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So again and again Vallabhbhai would keep pursuing Gadadhar Pandit to tell him about the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Gadadhar Pandit would somehow or other push him away. One day Vallabhbhai came to all the devotees and in presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started telling the devotees that actually Krishna is the only Purusha and everybody else is Prakriti. All other living entities are Prakriti. That means female, and Krishna is the only male. So he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that how is it that this living entities are chanting the names of the husband who is Lord Krishna? Because in India at least it is not very Vedic to be chanting the names of the husbands by the wives. So he wanted to prove to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually what he was doing was wrong by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to him that actually, my dear Vallabha, you actually misunderstood the whole philosophy. When the husband himself is telling the wife that he should chant my name, what harm is there in chanting the names? This is an instruction that has been given by the husband to the wife, that please chant my name. And it is the duty of the wife to follow the instruction of the husband. So what is wrong in this? And Vallabhbhai was completely smashed. But still, he thought, there must be some way by which I will be able to get over this devotee. You know, every time they smash me. So he approached the devotees another day. And these devotees were again not very comfortable with whatever he was saying. And again, Vallabhbhai returned back to his room, feeling completely dejected that somehow or the other, why is it that Lord is every time not listening to my commentary, not listening to me? And then it came to him a strong realization that actually I should be worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in an instant, whatever pride he was having in his heart disappeared. And then he came and surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what I wanted to say was that even here the Lord took an opportunity to glorify his devotees to Vallabhbhai. And he was telling Vallabhbhai that rather than associating with me, you should actually associate with his devotees. So, the Lord through his own example is telling us how important it is for us to glorify devotees. At the same time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also has given the other aspect that what happens to one if he criticizes devotees or he offends devotees. So many examples in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, beginning with Gopal Chapala and Srivas Thakur,
Now, Srivast Thakur was one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gopal Chapala was a Brahmana who was so envious of Srivast Thakur. And he was envious of all this kirtan that would go on in the house of Srivast Thakur. So one day Gopal Chapala brought these articles that were used for the worship of Mother Durga, which was actually contaminated offerings, and placed them outside the house of Srivast, wanting to tell the whole world that actually Srivast, he poses himself to be a Vaishnava, but actually he is a worshipper of Shakti, Mother Durga. And when next day morning, Srivast Thakur opened the door of his house, and he saw that all these articles were over there, Srivast Thakur immediately called all the neighbors and told them that this is actually what I do. This is the nature of a devotee. Although he could have quietly cleaned away everything and then acted as if nothing had happened, he wanted to take on this humble position that if there is somebody who wants to consider me as if I am not a Vaishnava, then let it be so. So he called for all the neighbors and told them, see, actually all of you think that I am a Vaishnava, but actually I am not a Vaishnava. I'm actually a worshipper of Goddess Durga. These are all the articles. And just by his humility and by the way he came forward to say that this was his true identity, all the neighbors were feeling so much of affection for Srivast Thakur that they immediately on their own, they cleared out all the articles that were present over there and wiped the whole floor with cow dung. And Gopal Chapala in 3 days contracted leprosy. His whole body was teeming with worms. And he had to take, because in those days in India, a leper had to leave the village where he was residing. And he had to go into the outskirts of the village. You are sort of condemned to die if you had leprosy. There was no cure for it. So Gopal Chapala had to take residence outside the village, and one day as he was sitting over there lamenting his fate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to pass through that area, and immediately Gopal Chapala went and fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged him, please my dear Lord, please forgive me for all my offences. Actually Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually one can understand that although Gopal Chapala was offensive to devotees, actually he was exhibiting a quality of simplicity. He was basically a very simple person. It was just that this quality of offensive nature came into his heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Gopal Chapala that for your offense, you will actually have these germs in your body for millions of years. And you have to take birth in this particular condition for 10 million births. But later on Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving the mercy to the devotees in Kulia, at that time Gopal Chapala once again approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him specific instructions how he could redeem his particular offense. He told him that the only way by which you can redeem your offense is to go and ask for forgiveness from Srivast Thakur. I cannot forgive you. This is just like the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj in Durvasmani. So Ambarish Maharaj was a pure Vaishnava. He was actually worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing this Ekadashi Rath for one full year. And one day when he was about to break his fast, Durvasmani happened to come over there. And Ambarish Maharaj received Durvasmani with great opulence and with great respect and invited him to honor prasadam. And Durvasmani told him that I have my noon duties to perform, let me go and have bath and then I'll come back and honor prasadam. And Ambarish Maharaj told him that I'll wait for you till you come. Durvasmani went into the river and then he went into a sort of samadhi like state. And the time that was required for Ambarish Maharaj to break his fast was passing. So he consulted all the
Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas told him that if you drink a little bit of water, it is like breaking a fast and yet not breaking a fast. So Ambarish Maharaj sipped a little bit of water, and Durvasa Muni, who was in his trance, he came out of his meditation, and then he realized that actually, or he was thinking that Ambarish Maharaj had offended him by honoring food without him. So in his anger, he created a demon. Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the difference between a Vaishnava and a non-Vaishnava. A non-Vaishnava, when he has a little bit of difficulties in his life or a little bit of offense that is committed upon him by somebody else, he immediately goes into a retaliatory mode. And Durvasa Muni created this demon, and he told this demon that he go and kill Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was just standing in his place when this demon attacked him, and the Lord cannot tolerate any injustice that is done to his devotees. So immediately the Sudarshan Chakra came and slashed off the head of this demon. And then after that, the Sudarshan Chakra went towards Durvasa Muni to attack him. Durvasa Muni was completely bewildered. What's happened? And Durvasa Muni, in order to save himself, went to so many different places and approached so many different people. He went to Brahma, he went to Shiva, and finally he had to go to Vaikuntha, the source from where the Sudarshan Chakra had come. And then he requested Vaikunthanath, that is Narayan, that please save me from the Sudarshan Chakra. And the Lord told him that there is no way by which I can save you, because the person who is actually controlling the Sudarshan Chakra is my devotee. You have to go to him and beg his forgiveness. So Durvasa Muni had to come back all the way back into this material world, fall at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, who embraced him and said, "My dear Swami, what are you doing? Compassion of a Vaishnava is so overwhelming that even if there are so many offenses that are caused to him, still he will be ultimately ready to forgive at any time." And when Durvasa Muni fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj immediately forgave him and told the Sudarshan Chakra that now you go back. You don't have any duty to perform. So similarly, Srivas Thakur, when Gopal Chapala came and fell down at his feet, he was so compassionate that immediately he forgave him for his offenses, and Gopal Chapala was freed from his illness. Similarly, we see how the son-in-law of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Amogha, how he took upon himself to insult the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to the house of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya to honor Prasadam, Amogha came on the scene, and then he was seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was honoring so many different varieties of Prasadam. So immediately he started criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that you are a sannyasi. How can you be honoring all this prasadam? How will you be able to control your senses? And immediately Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya got up and with a stick to chase Amogha. And then his wife was beating her hands on her breast and saying that let my daughter become a widow. And within 3 days Amogha contracted cholera. Punishment those days was very, very quick. Nowadays it takes time. If you offend devotees, it takes time for that offenses to fructify. It could take years. But those days, if you offend a Vaishnava, particularly if you offend the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then retribution was immediate. So Amogha contracted cholera, and then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know that the son-in-law of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had cholera, he came running to meet Amogha and asked him, "Why are you behaving like this? Why have you allowed all these contaminations to come into your heart?" And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Amogha was the son-in-law of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he wanted to give him his mercy. Jayapataka Swami, who had come to our temple, and he was giving a class, he was explaining that this is the mercy of a Vaishnava. When you are related to a Vaishnava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has full compassion just because you are related to him. Otherwise, what qualities or what qualifications did Amogha have? There's absolutely no qualification. Just because he was related to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it upon himself personally to redeem him, make him into a devotee. So this is the glorious quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just when a person is related to a devotee, he gets all the benefits. Not to say that all of us should not become devotees, just become devotees, just become relatives of devotees. But the point still remains that if we become dear to the Lord, then all our relatives, all our friends, everybody get the benefit automatically. So see, we see from this pastimes, but the Lord by his own personal example gave us this very, very valuable instruction that how valuable the devotees of the Lord are to him. And appreciating the qualities of a devotee makes our heart very soft. It gives us a non-envious quality. This quality of envy that is so deep-rooted in our heart becomes submerged when we appreciate the qualities of devotees. Srila Prabhupada would very often appreciate his own disciples. Even if they did a little bit of service, he would go to great length to glorify that particular service, glorify that particular devotee. Because a little bit of appreciation goes a long way in transforming your heart. So it's very important for us to understand what is it that really pleases the Lord. When we are respectful and when we appreciate other Vaishnavas, Krishna is pleased. When we criticize other Vaishnavas, Krishna is really displeased. So in this particular purport, we see how Lord Krishna is actually in this case being embarrassed because he is glorified by Vasudeva, his own father. And he is thinking in his mind, Jiva Goswami explains that actually Lord Krishna was thinking in his mind that actually I want to restore the original feelings of my father and my mother towards me, that is basically of being my parents. I don't want them to have this awe and reverence. So even the Lord was feeling so embarrassed that his parents were glorifying him. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
So we see in the way it works in the material world, people glorify their subordinates or others so that, you know, they will keep working for them. But the devotees, when they glorify, it's not that mood. So how do we see that, you know, with what mood somebody is glorifying us?
In the case of a devotee, the glorifications that is done by a devotee of another devotee has to be in a mood of ahetuki apratihata, unmotivated and unconditional. Unfortunately, we see sometimes that devotees glorify others for their own personal satisfaction or for their own personal gain, which is not real glorification at all, because that glorification is not spiritual, it is material. That happens always in the material world outside, that you glorify somebody for your own personal gain. Right? A subordinate glorifying his boss, for example. Obviously there is a motive why he is glorifying his boss. Why should a person glorify his own boss? Right? But a son glorifying a father is not always material. It could be because of the special relationship that he has. It's out of love. So when a devotee glorifies somebody out of no motivation, that is the actual glorification and appreciation. Just to highlight the wonderful qualities of the devotee, that should be the mood by which we glorify devotees, and not out of any expectations of any material gain. If I glorify him, he will glorify me, you know. Ahetuki apratihata, unmotivated, unconditional. That's in all aspects of devotional service. Whether we are worshipping the Lord, whether we are glorifying the devotees, it has to be without any motivation. Only to appreciate his good qualities. Because by appreciating his good qualities, this nature of envy that is there in our heart reduces. The best way to become non-envious of devotees is to glorify him. And in fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put this to great use. Whenever his disciples would be quarreling among themselves, he would get both the disciples together and tell them, you glorify this devotee, and this devotee, he would tell, you know, glorify the other devotee. And they would have to rack their brains as to, I find only bad qualities in him. What sort of good quality do I find in him? But then they would find some insignificant good quality, and then, you know, then they would find that when they appreciate that quality, then they have more qualities coming in their mind and those qualities coming in their mind. Ultimately, devotees, they have, each and every one has got so many good qualities. Right? In fact, they are filled with good qualities. So, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after a few minutes of them, you know, talking to each other, highlighting their good qualities, then you leave them. Because then you cannot fight with each other. Once you have glorified the other person's good qualities, then how can you fight with them? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very intelligent. Yes.
So when you were saying Srila Prabhupada glorifying the devotee, I was thinking of that when he was in 22nd Avenue in New York, Prabhupada was glorifying a gentleman who brought a toilet roll.
Yes.
He was so appreciative.
Absolutely.
So, this is very important.
Very true. And actually the person was completely drunk.
Yes.
He was so intoxicated that he was staggering. You know, he was walking, and everybody who was there in that audience were actually catching hold of their noses, because he was personally was stinking and he was stinking of alcohol. But yet, he went straight into the toilet. And then he saw that there was no toilet paper, he went out, brought a roll of toilet paper and kept it, and Srila Prabhupada told him, thank you. You know.
Everybody was surprised that Srila Prabhupada was glorifying.
Yes.
Now, I have one question. Why a devotee, when he is a devotee really, he has to suffer so much for his past deeds? This is the crucial question I want to ask.
Srila Prabhupada would tell us that just because we have come into Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that we are not going to be suffering. In fact, the suffering that we face as a devotee actually increases our attachment to Krishna, should increase our attachment to Krishna, actually. Now, Kunti Maharani is praying that let tribulations come upon me so that I can remember you all the time. Of course, we are not in the platform of Kunti Maharani. Tatena kampa sushamikshamano. A devotee, when he finds that sufferings are coming into his life, actually, he ought to be grateful. And if we have proper sadhana, and if we have a proper association of devotees, then Krishna will protect us in such situations. It is when we don't have proper sadhana that at that time when difficulties come into our lives, and they will come, because that's the nature of this material world. Now, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Sitosna Sukha Dukada Agama Parino Nitya Stampi Tiksha Subharata. This is the nature of this material world, that we are going to have difficulties coming into our lives sooner or later. So for a devotee, how he withstands those difficulties, that is the test. Is he going to take shelter of material nature to try to overcome those difficulties? Or is he going to take shelter of the holy names at that time? That is the true test of his Krishna consciousness. how advanced he is in his Krishna consciousness will be determined at that particular point of time when difficulties come into his life. And Srila Prabhupada would emphasize that difficulties will come into our life. And of course the greatest difficulty that all of us have to face is death.
That brings us to the same point what you are saying. Srila Prabhupada did so much service and he suffered from it.
Yes.
He had diabetes, he had uremia, and in spite of all those problems he was whole night doing translation of Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So we have to learn that.
Yes.
He was absolutely correct. You have to remember Krishna all the time, whether in stress or...
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. So it's getting late, we'll end over here. Yes, sorry, Prabhu.
So what's the meaning of this Bhagavatam here? The meaning of this Bhagavatam
here? The word over here is Satvata Rishabha, best of the Yadus. Yeah. Best of the Yadus. Yeah. That's what Prabhupada translates over here. Satvata Rishabha. That's one word. Oh, best of the Yadus. Yes, yes, Prabhu.
Talking about enviousness and developing non enviousness towards devotees and having a very good relationship with them. How do we not develop a non envious attitude towards Krishna?
How do we develop a non envious attitude towards Krishna?
Okay, sometimes we have those sort of enviousness feeling coming towards him too.
How do we develop a non envious attitude towards Krishna? Difficult question. I don't know. Prabhuji, you'll be able to answer?
No, so not envying the devotees, I understand.
Prabhuji is saying by non envying the devotees. We begin by non envying the devotees. Yeah. Yes, sir. How do you accept glorification?
In a non-offensive way.
Well, we should understand that when we are being glorified, that is because we have a particular quality which is given to us by Krishna. So if another person is able to see that quality in us, that is not because of our own abilities, it's given to us by Krishna. Actually, when a person is glorified, he should really think himself to be in a very vulnerable situation. Nobody should really like to be glorified. If a person likes to be glorified, then he should realize that he's actually not made much advancement in Krishna consciousness. So actually the process of Krishna consciousness is a process of introspection. At every stage of our life we have to introspect to what extent we have made advancement in our Krishna consciousness. And the biggest test is when we are glorified, when we are given positions of honor. We should actually hate it to be put into that position. If we have really made advancement in Krishna consciousness, then from the heart of hearts, we should not really accept that glorification. We should think that it is because of Krishna, it's by His mercy that I am in this particular situation where I am getting that glorification, but I don't deserve it. We really have to feel that heart of hearts for us to make. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is not external, it's all internal. True advancement means not by external behavior, how wonderful we dress as Vaishnavas, what sort of a shikha we have, what sort of tilak we have. Now these are externals. True advancement means how much transformation has it resulted into our heart. What sort of a devotee are we internally? And periodically there is a need for us to introspect on that account. And one of the main tests, as I said, is glorification. A devotee actually runs away when he is glorified. He doesn't want to be glorified. A true devotee of the Lord doesn't want to be glorified. He'll always change the subject. Yes?
On the same point, Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada, when he was purified, he always purified from Pilantarasi Thakur.
Yes.
All because of minutes.
Yes. Just pass on the glory to your spiritual master, or to Krishna. That's the best way of taking the glorification. Just pass it on. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry.
Are there trees and plants in the spiritual world?
Are there trees and plants in the spiritual world?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I presume so. I mean, if you look at the paintings that have been done by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you know, of the spiritual world, you can see that there are a lot of trees, there are plants, there are buildings, huge palaces. It's a very, very beautiful place. Just by looking at those paintings, there is this book which has been put together by the BBT for the children. It contains so many magnificent paintings which are all drawn by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And if you see the description that is put there in the painting of the spiritual world, what to talk about the spiritual world, even the heavenly planets. So beautiful. It has everything, trees, plants. I mean, I'm only saying by that, I mean, I've not seen any scriptural reference to indicate that there are trees and plants over there.
Prabhupada's mission to take every fish back to Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Sarva Yonishu Kamtaya Murtaya Sambhavantiya. So that means all the species are being manifested or designed by Krishna's energy only. So when we are attempting to take them back to Godhead, so do they get the same form, or do they, how do they get liberated, or how do they go back to Godhead?
Ultimately, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajit antakalevaram tam tam evaitikam tiya sadasat bhava bhavita. We will take a body depending upon our consciousness at the time when we leave our body. So this means that the living entity, when he comes to the human form of life, that is an opportunity for him to go home back to Godhead. So till then he has to transmigrate through that 84 lakh species of life until he reaches the human form of life. It's only in the human form of life that we have this opportunity to go home back to Godhead. Of course, the animal also has, but if you get special mercy of, like in the example of this dog that followed Shivanand Sen in Chaitanya Leela, right? This dog was being given this coconut by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his own hands, and the next day the dog left his body. Obviously, the dog went home back to Godhead. those are exceptions. Generally, you have to come to the human form of life in order to go home back to Godhead. And what is your consciousness at that particular point of time? What is your aspiration to be serving Krishna in which of the different rasas? Dasya ras, Sakya ras, Vatsalya ras, Madhurya ras. Depending on the ras that you are manifesting at the time when you are leaving your body, you will take a birth in the spiritual world. If you want to serve the Lord in the mood of Dasya ras, then you could take the form of a stone, you could take the form of a plant.
In the spiritual
world. Yeah. Yes.
You can understand what false pride is. You know, when you compare what we may have that we may have earlier. What is real pride?
Real pride? Of course you know the answer, but real pride is that we are connected to Krishna. That we are devotees of Krishna. That we are chanting his holy names. And we want to give this to others. We are proud to be a devotee of Krishna. This is real pride. And we would like to have more and more of that pride, that we are actually trying to be devotees of Krishna. So it's in a very positive way. False pride is negative. It ruins our consciousness. Good pride is positive. It helps us to promote Krishna to others. Just because we are connected to Krishna, we want to promote Krishna to others. We are so proud that we are connected to Krishna that we would like to give Krishna to others. We would like to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We would like to bring devotees to the temple to take darshan of the Lord and introduce them that this is, He is our worshipable Lord. He is the Lord of our lives. We are proud. This is my humble analysis. Yeah. I don't know whether it's true. Yes.
My question is related to motivation, chanting without motivation, or without your own agenda. But I chant Mahamantra because probably my mind needs purification, or I don't want to connect this material world and get into this chakra of birth, decay, old age, and death. So is that motivation right or is that wrong? And also chanting makes me happy, and I want to be happy, that's why I chant Mahamantra.
Yeah, in the initial stages, it's very nice to be thinking that chanting will help us. You know, sometimes people think that chanting helps me to control my mind, chanting helps me to lift me out of depression. So many reasons could be there, but the reasons may be material, but the act that you're doing is spiritual. So the purification will result irrespective of what you think the effect of chanting will be. You might venture into chanting thinking that chanting will do so and so things for me, but then the benefit is definitely there. Neha vikramanasosi pratyavayo napityate. So albam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahatopayat. Even a little bit of advancement in this path will save us from the greatest amount of danger. So the credit that comes from chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra even once is eternal. Irrespective of whether we go home back to Godhead in this lifetime or not, it is eternity to our credit. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by the residents of Kulila Gram, who is a Vaishnava? Can you tell us the definition of a Vaishnava? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time says that anybody who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra even once is to be considered as the topmost Vaishnava. So this is told to us by the Supreme Lord Himself that just by chanting we are going to make advancement. And in this age of Kali Yuga, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Kathira Neta. There is no other way except chanting the holy names. So with what motivation we chant the holy names, it is of no consequence. The fact that we are chanting is perfect. And it is going to give us eternal benefit. And we will get purified. Well, the only way to purify our consciousness in the age of Kali Yuga is to chant. There is no other method of purification. We can't be constructing big, big temples, we can't be doing meditation for thousands of years, we can't be doing deity worship. These are the prescribed methods for the other yugas. But in Kali Yuga, there is only one prescribed way. Kaleya Dosh Vijay Rajan Hasti Eka Mahan Guna. Just chanting the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed way in the age of Kali Yuga. So how we chant it, with what motivation we chant it, it's of no consequence. But in the beginning stage, yes, there could be so many reasons as to why we say that chanting helps us. So many different reasons are given by so many different people. Chanting is good for this, chanting is good for that. Whatever it may be, tell them to chant. Let them make a beginning. And gradually as they associate with devotees and as they hear the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, their consciousness will get purified. And then they will get the benefits, the real benefits of the chanting. Their heart will get pure. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti. The process of transformation of the heart begins with a little bit of faith and then Sadhu Sangha, then you do association of devotees, then you go and then you chant the holy names of the Lord. That is how the transformation of the heart takes place. Anartha Nivritti is the fourth stage, and then you go on for a higher and higher realms of purification. Nishtha, Bhav, Prem. So don't worry, just chanting. It's perfect. I think we'll stop over here. Thank you very much once again for giving us such a wonderful reception in this temple. We are honored to be here and looking forward to coming here more often so that we can associate with all of you and get purified by this association. One of the most wonderful deities that I've ever seen in any part of the world, so wonderfully worshipped, so wonderfully looked after, taken care of. And more important than the deities, of course, are the Vaishnavas. We see that here is a place where Vaishnavas are really being very nicely cultivated. There are so many devotees who are exerting themselves at the cost of their own health to be having this Bhakti Vriksha programs in their homes, inviting new people to come and attend their programs, cultivating them, spending time with them. This process of Krishna consciousness is not very easy. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam kaschit mahambhiti tatpata. Only one out of thousand will ever come to this path of Krishna consciousness. But to get that one person and get him connected to Krishna, that is so difficult in this age of Kali Yuga. And I can see that all of you are doing this so nicely. So we are really inspired by your wonderful service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Gantra, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Prabhupada.